two crisp quality sounding microphones. No, I'm kidding. People don't care about that. What a good series win for the Blue Jays, who kind of did it in a couple different ways. That was a lot of fun to see. But we know the people are here to hear about some trade deadlines. So we have a lot of that content coming up as well. It's Locked On Blue Jays, and it begins at this moment.
You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily Toronto Blue Jays podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Blue Jays. Thanks so much for making us your first listen every day. I'm Ben Schulman. He's Matt Bonaparte. You can check us out on Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, Odyssey, Stitcher. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can also check out our Twitter at Locked On Jays and our email. Our email, which you can see if you're watching our video. Maybe. No, it's okay.
There it is.
our email. I'm pointing the wrong way anyway. It's one of these directions. LockedOnBlueJaysReal@gmail.com. R-E-A-L. LockedOnBlueJaysReal@gmail.com. And you guys have been emailing more, so I appreciate that. And please keep doing
I'll
that.
Check the email right now, see if we got any.
Okay.
Oh, I will sign
down. Volume on my new microphone. Okay, I'll check it later. How about that? When we swing around for third segment,
I'm signed back in. We got no emails.
We got nothing. Okay, let's move on. Blue Jays take 3 out of 4 from the Tigers. Pretty good series overall. I mean, pretty awful defensive series from the Detroit Tigers, but that's their problem, not ours. So, Bones.
Yeah, man.
What's your storyline?
Storyline here is that there were some injuries during this series, but my eyes weren't attracted to them because every time I was like, damn, George Springer's hurt, or like, damn, Manoah's hurt, Matt Chapman would just be like, ka-choosh! And then he would just slam another ball over the wall. So Matt Chapman distracted me from injuries that are pertinent to this team. That's my storyline.
He was good. I have a feeling I know where you're going to go with your MVP. But before we get there, I will say my storyline, which is essentially the reverse. They played well. I was happy about it. But, I mean, thankfully, there's only one legitimate injury. But the health stuff, like, distracted me from the whole thing. And maybe it's just because I'm an anxious person. But watching George that whole series was painful. He's clearly in pain. Maybe the most telling moment was, I think it was Saturday maybe, after he scored or something. He slid head first and was like, just, he wasn't hyped. He was just lying on the ground because he didn't want to get up and have to use his elbow yet. And then he went to the dugout, and they were talking about this on the broadcast. He like accidentally just bumps into Lourdes a little bit and like really, for all the audio listeners, like shot his arm back in pain, was like, oh my goodness. So that's scary. I mean, if the Blue Jays trade for an outfielder, and they think this is something that could help, because I'm not Jose Ministrel and I don't understand the human body, maybe like a 10-day IL stint for George wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, just to make sure he gets healthy now rather than not being healthy later. And then, you know, the Manoah thing, luckily he's not going to miss a start, but I was like freaking out that whole time. And the Vlad thing, Vlad got hit exactly how Bryce Harper got hit. Like, he could have easily ended up on the IL with a broken hand, but thankfully he wears the hand protector thing. So anyone who's always like, I don't know why baseball players have to wear all this equipment anymore, they're not Iron Man. Yeah, they are Iron Man, because guys weren't facing 150,000 mile per hour fastballs before. And Vlad, it doesn't have a broken hand because of a piece of plastic that was on his hand.
It's true.
MVP, unless you want to respond.
No, you know, I'll leave that to you. MVP, I'm going to go Chapman, man. How could you not? This dude in this series, let me tell you a couple of crazy stats after the series. The guy hits 4 homers in 4 games, 6 RBIs in that time, 4 walks too, which really helps him out. He slugs 1,500 in this series, which is like kind of bonkers. But it raises his numbers to where he is now in second on the team in terms of slugging percentage, only behind Vladimir Guerrero Jr. But that's insane. To be fair, like he inches out Kirk and Teoscar by 2 points and 1 point.
Hey, but he's inching.
Still, he's in second. It's Vladdy with a 499 slugging and then Chapman with a 482. His OPS now above 800. He's got an 808 OPS, which is all you could possibly ask from this man. He is now having one of the best seasons on the team. I mean, this is everything you could ask and more from Matt Chapman. And not too long ago, he wasn't having a good season. So he has turned it around more than I think anybody has in this team. This month, earlier this month, he had a 677 OPS. That was the 4th of July. Since then, he's hit 370 with a 1,200-plus OPS. 9 homers and 20 RBI in that time and a 452 on base. I mean, this dude has been everything and more for this lineup and been everything they've possibly needed. The offense has been kind of lacking. So for Chapman to kind of be that guy for them, it's been absolutely huge. So Chapman is my MVP. MVP of July.
Yeah, no, it's a good pick. I had to watch the Peacock broadcast yesterday because, as our listeners may remember, we're both stateside over here. It was a good broadcast. I'm not saying I had to. Like, it was excruciating to listen to Jason Benetti or any of the other guys. But Tabby was on the Peacock broadcast, and he was talking about – I was just like, Chapman has just been hitting the ball hard the whole year, and eventually it was going to turn, and maybe wasn't going to turn like this, but – all of a sudden, you know, all those hard hit balls are not going at people. They're going over the wall and stuff like that. So, yeah, that's great to see. And like you said, it's probably more than we would have asked for. This is starting to look like pre-injury Chapman when he injured his hip pretty badly, as opposed to like I had said multiple times this year, I think if he has like a 760 OPS and hits 25 homers, then it's I'll be really happy. And I still will be. I want to make that very clear. But if he hits 30 homers and has an 820 OPS, I'll be even happier. So
I'm talking about a guy who's nicknamed Pegasus right now.
Pegasus. We've used him. We've used the Pegasus man in baseball reference name game. I won't dwell too long, but my MVP is Jose Berríos. Got his ERA under 4 or under 5 yesterday. Under 4 would be crazy. But got his ERA under 5. Just, you know, found a way despite giving up, the home run to Javi Baez to settle down after that. And him and Javi Baez have a lot more going on than just Tigers versus Blue Jays. So, you know, you kind of take that for whatever. But Jose's back down to a 4.96 ERA, which isn't good, but it's not nearly as astronomically terrible as it was before. It's the first time he's had a 4 ERA in over a month and a half. And it's legitimately like 6 or 7 starts now without a blow up. And that's pretty huge, I think, these days. You know, I believe they've won 13 in a row of his starts at home, which probably dates back to last year too. But, he's not been Hercules. He was yesterday. 7 innings, 1 run is really good. But he's been good enough. And I'm very happy with that.
Yeah, and I think Blue Jays fans should be because he's finally coming around, which is something that they've absolutely needed for this team as Manoa can't be the only guy who's pitching his heart out with Gausman.
By the way, Bones, meant to tell you that today's episode is brought to you by Vroom. With Vroom, you can buy a car entirely online and have it delivered straight to you. So you never have to go to a dealership again. So next time you need to buy a car, just grab your phone, go to vroom.com, and check out thousands of great cars.
There's a car on its way to my house right now.
Vroom. That's the sound of it getting there. Anything else you want to do related to this? Or shall we move on to our trade deadline talks?
What?
Anything else you want to talk about with this series?
Sorry, I just got a call from Rocket Mortgage. They won't stop calling me.
Oh, no. Tell them anyway, you're on.
I don't got anything else to talk about.
Okay. let's move on to some trade deadline stuff. Lots of teams looking to employ some new players. And if you are looking to employ some new people, you should probably check out our next business partner. As you gear up for the fall, you need the right people on your team to help your small business fire on all cylinders. LinkedIn Jobs is here to make it easy to help you find the people that you want to talk to faster and for free. LinkedIn allows you to create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond the world's largest professional network of over 810 million people. Then add your job and the hashtag purple hiring frame. You don't put purple in the hashtag, just hiring. To your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring so you can network and help you find the right people to hire. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. As you know, every week, nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/LockedOnMLB. That's LinkedIn.com/LockedOnMLB to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
And thanks for making Locked On Blue Jays your first listen every day. The MLB trade deadline is August 2nd, and Locked On MLB has all the breakdowns. Locked On Blue Jays will have rapid reactions to any move made. Subscribe now to your favorite Locked On Blue Jays on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts so you get notified when each episode premieres.
Hootie-hoo.
Hootie-hoo indeed. All right, it's trade deadline time. That's tomorrow, by the way.
Tomorrow.
At 6 p.m. So, you know, the Jays got to be making some moves. This might be the worst trade deadline in history right now. There's nobody's done anything. David Peralta's moved and Andrew Benintendi has moved. Outside of that, it's been boring.
Well, I mean, Luis Castillo was traded.
That too. I forgot about that one.
But I did see Cespedes Family Barbecue posted a tweet saying, like, I know we all want something crazy to happen, but this is exactly what happened last year before, like, 11 trades went down on deadline day or something. Like, it was in the – because we were still 3, 4, and 5 days out. So it was like – this year it was like 1, 1, 3 in those 3 days or whatever in terms of how many trades. And last year I think it was like 1, 3, 1. Like, it was the exact same thing. So hopefully today there are a lot of trades. I do think Soto – and Otani are holding up some stuff because some teams like the Padres, who were expecting to be, you know, potentially players in a lot of spots, and the Dodgers are focusing a lot of attention on guys like that. I'm saying opinion. I want to know if you agree with me. I don't, like Sportsnet something posted like, who would you rather have, Otani or Soto? The Blue Jays are simply not having Juan Soto. Like, no, literally no reporting has linked them at all to being in the sweepstakes of that. I don't even think people should sit and dream about Soto at this point.
I don't think either of them are moving. I think there's a
better
than Otani moves. I think there's no shot Otani moves. And I think that the Nationals are just getting seeing what they can get for Soto. And then they'll be like, no thanks. And then they'll call it a day.
They allegedly have another offer, too, that they're going to give him now.
Well, the Padres are throwing out offers. The Yankees have given up on Soto. So
oh, no, I mean, like, another contract offer. It came out that now Washington
is going to give him another contract. So they're, that was what it was. Yeah, I remember that. They're going to offer him again, and then if he says no to that, maybe they'll reconsider trading him. But I really don't see him moving because new ownership's taking over the Nationals, and, like, I bet you he wants Juan Soto. So I just don't see it. It doesn't really make any sense to me. And, you know, the Padres could offer every prospect under the sun, but at the end of the day, are any of them worth Juan Soto? Probably not. So I don't know. I don't really see either of them moving. I think there's definitely no chance Otani moves. Is there a chance Soto moves? Yeah. There's no shot Otani's moving. I just definitely don't see that. I mean, I think it's really nice to think about those guys creating some huge waves in the deadline, but I just don't really think it's going to happen. Mostly because, like, it's kind of the same thing, and I'll equate this to the NFL. It's the same thing with moving a guy like Aaron Rodgers. Like, it's not exactly the same situation because he wanted out and those guys don't. But, like, it's impossible to trade for Aaron Rodgers. Like, there is nothing you could give the team that would equate to his value. And it's kind of a similar thing, especially with Ohtani. Like, what could you possibly give the Dodgers or the Angels, I mean, for Ohtani that I would actually meet the requirement or that would meet his value? I mean, there's nothing that you could give that is that good. You'd have to give an all-star hitter and an all-star pitcher. Like, and a bunch of prospects and picks. Like, it just, like, it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen.
So let's move on to the real world. Assuming that Soto and Ohtani don't go, Luis Castillo, you could argue, is then the biggest trade that's going to happen, even if a lot of other people get traded. Castillo might be the biggest name to go. For the purposes of the Jays playoff race, how do you feel about Castillo to the Mariners? I feel moderately okay about it. And I know that's crazy because he went to a direct wild card competitor. But in general, I would rather him be a Mariner than a Yankee right now. And the Mariners haven't made the playoffs in 20 years. So I kind of think they might blow it, even with him. Your thoughts?
I'm really not happy about Castillo going to the Mariners. But the Mariners overpaid. Like, they really gave him four prospects, three in their top five. Like, you really overpaid.
So,
when I saw that, I was like, whatever. Who cares? Like, I didn't want them to give that up. Like, if you're going to give up three of your top five prospects, go right ahead. Like, I don't care.
I appreciate them really wanting to make the playoffs, though. Because, like, if I were a Mariner fan, I would want them to overpay.
Yeah. It sends a message to the fan base that's like, we actually care. We're going to try. And not far after they were talking about holding back Jared Kelenic and Julio Rodriguez to try and get as much service time as they possibly could out of them, remember?
Yeah.
So it's exciting for them. And I'm happy for Mariners fans. Castillo, I'm not stoked about. But you know, the Jays are linked to Montas. They're linked to Fulmer. So you could potentially add a starter and a bullpen arm there. I know the Yankees are also linked to Montas, and I know they already have a deal that's on the table for Montas, but the A's are just biding time to see what they can get. So you're kind of competing with the Bronx there. But, you know, I don't know you don't know how many guys that the Jays are after that we don't know about. You know, that's the kind of thing that's wonderful about this kind of thing. My favorite trades are the ones you didn't hear about before. So do they go after a guy like Rodon? Do they go after Gregory Soto, perhaps? Maybe they go try and get some other bullpen guys that are playing Joe Mantiply or something like that, or Anthony Bass or Chris Martin. Like, do they go after names like that that they aren't necessarily linked to? I don't know other starters that they might be going after. I think Rodon and Montas are probably the big two names with Castillo out of the way now. But, you know, they have to make a move, and I think that the front office knows that.
Yeah, I saw something – someone tweeted, like, the expectation in the organization is that they'll add two bullpen arms at a minimum. And, like, good. That's exactly what I would agree with is the necessary course of action. I think it's easy to think about the Detroit stuff with the Tigers just being in town. Shapiro could have spoken to them and Atkins. And Fulmer, to me, feels more realistic than Soto. I know Soto has multiple years of control left, so you would have to trade a lot more. I'm a little bit more in on, like, it's reliever, and I don't know if I want to bet on a reliever multiple years in a row. Unless he's, like, your closer, it's pretty tough sometimes to know. Great closers fall off all the time. Look at the Yankees, Aroldis Chapman. So I feel more comfortable in a one-year situation. I've still heard stuff about the Blue Jays and, like, heard on Twitter. We have no inside sources. links to the Cubs and what the Cubs are doing. If they're going to bring in a bat, I would probably want it to be Ian Happ. I'm still of the opinion they don't really need to. But if the Cubs want to package Happ and Robertson, then I'm cool with it. Because I will say the one thing, Blue Jays fans, I love you. I don't know who convinced all of you they need a left-handed bat and why. Because they can't hit lefties and they demolish righties. So why would bringing in another left-handed bat do something to change? Like,
it's all about the balance of the lineup, Ben.
Yeah, like, which is like what the Yankees were clamoring about last year. It doesn't matter. We're past a time in baseball where righties don't hit well against righties and lefties don't hit well against lefties. Watch how people are pitching people. They'll tell you that straight up. There aren't really all those specialists anymore. So the Blue Jays, if you look at the numbers, are one of the worst teams against left-handed pitching in baseball, yet they're one of the best offenses in baseball per almost every metric you'll find. They don't need a left-handed bat. However, Ian Happ's a switch hitter who mashes left-handed pitching. So if you want to have a guy who can hit left versus righties but then still hit lefties, he's my favorite. Looking at I don't know where right I left now. You. You're looking at the numbers? Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't believe
they need it. It's getting a lot closer. They are they're hitting .267 against righties with a .772 OPS, and they're hitting .259 against lefties with a .748 OPS. So it's pretty much negligible.
Lefty starters? What about lefty starters versus?
Oh, you want lefty starters? Lefty starters, they're worse. They hit .231 against lefty starters with a .660 OPS. That means that they mash relievers.
Lefty relievers, yeah, which is doesn't make any sense. That's I think we like slightly discovered that a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. I kind of remember talking about that. Yeah.
But no, it is hilarious because they're like not That's hitting lefty starters at all.
Like, oh, the reliever's coming in? All right, we're good.
They're like, this guy's terrible. This guy's awful. But yeah, right. It was, we saw in the KC series that happened. So my favorite bat is Ian Happ. And that's the end of my TED Talk.
All right, we got to move on here to talk about the Tampa series. But before we do, I'm going to tell you betonline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your betting needs. Find all of your favorite sports and events at the number one online source for odds, lines, and games. Find reviews and news of every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports wagering information, from live in-game betting, scores, and podcasts. They have you covered. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to learn more about the action happening today. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Where the game starts. Interesting series coming up. After, I feel like the Blue Jays and Rays have such an odd relationship. By the way, this is Locked On Blue Jays. Thanks for making us your first listen. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network. The last series versus the Rays was a 5-game set. Tomorrow starts a 2-game set at the Trop, which isn't fun sounding at all. But this will be – I don't know how this is going to go. I mean, it's Gausman, who was mediocre his last time, and Kikuchi, who was good his last time, but – second start back from his IL stint. So I'll let you take the first crack here. Let's hear your Sunday scary, even though we're
my Sunday scary. You know, I had an opportunity that I was excited for to use Hidden Herald and back-to-back series, because I could have gone right from Castro to Ramirez, but Harold Ramirez on the IL. So it's pain, but it's okay. We move. I'm going to take Yandy Diaz here. Yandy Diaz having one of the better seasons on this offense for the Rays, and he is mashing in 6 games against the Blue Jays this season. A .476 average and a .1200 OPS. He's also mashed one ball over the walls, got a few RBI, and he's walked 5 times compared to just 1 strikeout in 26 plate appearances. So I go Yandy.
Yeah, good pick. I was also thinking about Hidden Herald. I was also thinking about Francisco Mejia. He's also on the IL. So this is a really, really banged up race team. But what they've tried to do to combat that is they've made a trade. And that will be my scary. Their trade acquisition, David Peralta, who's a very good player coming over from the Arizona Diamondbacks. He, this year in Arizona, in 87 games, had a 777 OPS. Good, you know, good amount of extra base hits, 19 doubles, 12 homers. Someone who's had a 30 homer year, somehow has not been an all-star. You would have thought he would have snuck in on one of those Arizona teams, especially with not that much talent around. But I guess Goldie was probably getting the nods when he was in his best days. Peralta, definitely a guy who can hit homers. Only has 3 games of experience with the Blue Jays in his career, to be fair, but has like a 940 OPS. But also, I think when you haven't seen someone, I kind of, at least right now, maybe I've contradicted this earlier in the year, I'm going to go edge hitter over edge pitcher because they don't know really how to pitch him because they've never seen him. I know they got the numbers, but they don't know. They haven't seen it. So David Peralta is my scary. Who's your train of hype?
My train of hype? It's Matt Chapman. How could I not pick Matt Chapman right now? I mean, so the guy's fair. Mashing. I'd really like to watch him keep doing that. I mean, if he can put together a season that's comparable to what he did, 2019 when he had that incredible year, where he had like 36 homers or something. 2019, 36 homers, 91 RBI, and an 848 OPS with a slugging over 500. Like, dude, that would be awesome. So I'd like Matt Chapman to continue mashing the baseball.
You took the surest bet, I think, with Chapman raking right now. I'm going to take the least sure bet possible. Just the absolute wildest one. I've picked this guy twice this year. Once it paid off for me. Once it absolutely did not. Starting the second game of the season, I'll be placing my hype train on Yusei Kikuchi. And here's why. I want to use it as a means to acknowledge that Kikuchi did pitch well in his start back against Detroit. Not only did he like just put up good numbers in terms of like 5 inning, one run, but also he threw strikes like fairly consistently. He walked a single batter, which is fine. And he only gave up 2 hits. It was a solo home run, and that was it. Also, he pitched well versus Tampa this year, even amidst him like struggling really poorly. This was late June. He went out and threw 6 innings, 1-run ball with only 1 walk. It was a solo homer again that burned him, and he struck out 8. You got to put faith back in the guy if you want him to have some faith in himself. So I have Yusei
Kikuchi. All right, Mookie Wilson.
Yeah.
He believes in dinosaurs because maybe they'll believe in him.
Well, I think it's – I almost made it my Twitter cover photo, but it doesn't look good. It's I believe in dinosaurs because if I believe in them somewhere out there, they must be believing in me too.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. Any thoughts on Yusei? I'm going to reserve my thoughts until our episode after he pitches.
Okay. Tomorrow we're going to come back. I think with like a full, we should probably do like a full trade deadline app tomorrow, right? Everything trade deadline possible.
Yeah. I think I'll be appearing on Lockdown MLB if they make a trade. So you'll see me there, perhaps.
Wow. Okay. Well, we appreciate you making us your first listen today. Make your second listen to the Locked On MLB podcast. MLB expert Paul Francis Sullivan brings humor, passion, a unique perspective on every team, and the biggest stories around the league. Follow the number one daily league-wide podcast, Locked On MLB, on the Odyssey app, YouTube, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. He's Matt Bonaparte. I'm Ben Schulman. Appreciate you listening, and we'll see you tomorrow on Locked On Blue Jays.